Appreciate that, Ms. Abigail, very much. And if you didn't know, Ms. Abigail will be headed to Utah, I think this week, end of the week, tomorrow. And going back up there with her parents for the summer, and then coming back at the end of the summer and getting married. And then her husband's a member of the First Baptist Church there in Haltom City, and Brother Mosley, and so they'll be attending there. So this is Ms. Abigail's last official service with us tonight, and we appreciate her very much. Teaches in our Christian school, and she'll continue to teach in this Christian school, of course. And then plays the flute. I've enjoyed the flute and enjoyed her singing. And again, her participation in the choir and many other places just jumped right in, and what a blessing. Jesus satisfies our longings, doesn't he? I saw a little snippet, I guess yesterday, of someone. It was an atheist talking about making fun of Christians about all the, you know, great things that Christians have, and you know that Christians make fun of atheists that they don't have anything. I'm talking about feelings and all these type of things, and he gave a big long list of what atheists have, and you know they have joy, and he mentioned a bunch of stuff, but nowhere in there did I see peace. I tell you what, you can't have peace, true genuine peace, without the Lord. You cannot. He is the only one who truly satisfies the soul. He's the only one that truly satisfies that hunger. Very familiar passage tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. We're going to have a topical message tonight. Use this as a springboard. And really along the same theme as Sunday night. Talking about the potter. And just that conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. This is an area, I guess, recently that God has used in my life. By the way, I've had some great answers to prayer lately. Have you experienced that? A season of time in which God has just answered, you know, several prayers of yours. And this is one of those seasons of times for me, the last 3 or 4 weeks. And it's just a blessing to see. And we know God answers prayer. But he answers yes, no, or maybe. Actually, it's yes, no, or wait. It's good to see God do some things. I think about this today. I got a text from Miss Bobby that her test came back negative, that showed no cancer. That's just a super praise, and I've been praying so hard for her and love her to death, and just so thankful that the CT scan came back negative. She will be going Friday for that esophagus stretching of her esophagus, I believe is what it is. Right, Miss Pat? I think that's what it is, just a stretching, trying to loosen up the scar tissues and things that are there, that she can swallow better. But the cancer on her tongue. By the way, Brother Moore's here tonight. Hey, Brother Moore. This is. Go ahead and wave your hand. We'll embarrass you tonight. This is Abigail's fiance. It's good to see him. But they're going to do that procedure Friday morning. So be in prayer for Miss Bobby. I know we'll take that request in a minute. But just an answer to prayer there. And by the way, it's good to thank the Lord for the praises. Thank the Lord for the answers to prayer. And then in my own life, a few other things. And I got a couple other things coming up, praying hard for the Lord would do some great, mighty things. I know he will. And pray for the activity center. That's an area that we just like to get that behind us. And I know some of you are not worried about it at all. We're kind of the summertime. It's, you know, everybody's just out and about. But we'd love to see the possibility of maybe being in there 4th of July or something and using that facility. And the rain really right now is what's keeping us. We've got the electrical poles run. Everything's there. It's just now, can it stop raining long enough for them to dig a trench and get the electricity to the building? So we also met today. I know I could say this in a minute, but we'll start preaching in a moment. We also met today with the contractor and talked about the sports complex. And we're certainly not intending to leave that off at all. So we put somebody else in charge of it besides me. And I appreciate Brother Wiggins coming back on full time. And he's going to head that up. And so we're thankful for that. But pray. That's an area. There's several areas in that sports complex where we could save a ton of money if the right things happen. And one of those is the light poles. You would not believe how much light poles are. It would scare you. You would go out to your car and you would be very, very afraid. But it's one of those things we could find them used somewhere. And that's what we're praying for. So y'all pray that way. Some of you just make the activity center, sports complex, the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks. Just really pray hard. There's an opportunity there to spend several thousands of dollars or to save literally $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 depending on what happened. So would everybody pray? I need to get that off my chest before I preach. I feel so much better. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Most of you, again, very familiar passage. Let's look at verse 19. Lay up not for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, or where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to meet together. I pray, Lord, that it would be both comforting and challenging tonight as we finish out the rest of this week. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, we think about our time. I've always said love is spelled T-I-M-E. And that's absolutely true. You love your kids? Tell them you love them. Absolutely. And they ought to be told verbally that they are loved. And you dads sometimes will have a hard time with that, but you need to break that cycle. If your dad never told you that he loved you, then you break the cycle with your kids. And if you've already skipped it with the kids, do it with the grandkids, you know. But verbally tell your children you love them. But more than that, spend time with them. Because spending time with them shows them that you love them. Buying them a new doesn't show them that you love them. Shows them that you buy stuff for them, but it's not telling them or showing them you love them. Time does. Time does. For them, above the other things, time tells. Now, providing for your kids does show them you love them. That's not providing for your kids. I'm just, okay. But spending time with them. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love. Now, let's translate that over into our Christian life. We say we love the Lord, and we can tell Him that all we want. But do we show our love? How is our love displayed to the Lord? How is it actualized? How does the Lord know we love them? Of course the Lord can see our heart. But there should be an outward display of our love. And that is through time. That's through using our talents, as we saw Miss Abigail tonight. Show her talent and display that talent for the Lord. The musicians tonight. Displaying the talent for the Lord. Using our talents. Teaching and working in the church and displaying those talents. And then your treasure. Your treasure. A bank statement will say a lot about what you love. A bank statement will tell a lot about what your heart is. Right? If you went through my bank statement, what would you find? You found a house payment. Right? You found a house payment because it's my responsibility to take care of my kids and my wife. Now, not just because it's my responsibility, but I do love them. And I want to provide a home for them. Amen? Right? You find an insurance payment in there. Thought I'd stick that in there, Mr. Jacoby. Insurance payment. Because not only do I want to provide a home, but I want to make sure that if I die, my kids are taken care of. And my wife is taken care of. Right? You should have life insurance, all right? That's cheap. I'm just helping out Mr. Jacoby all over the place. But that does show my love for my family, right? It's in my bank statement. You can look through my bank statement. You can see the utility payments, the light bill, electric bill, the water bill. You can go through car payments, and not on the Miatas. There's no car payments on those. You can go through the rest of the statement. You can see, Caleb's over there. You can see helping out a little bit with the old college, you know. I don't pay at all. I never said I would with my kids. I'm not paying for all their college. I help. You can do what you want to. That's what I've decided. I'll tell you what we did with our kids. We said we'd pay half. Now, Caleb's done a little better than that. I'm saying I've had to do less, which is I'm thankful for. So I'm going to be truthful because he's in here. But I've always said I'll pay half, and I would if he needed it. I'd pay the whole half. But I also made the stipulation that means you can't give me any trouble. If you give me any trouble, you get nothing. And I promise you they know that that's what I would do. But you can see those payments in my bank statement. Because I want to take care of my family. Again, not because I have to. I want to. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. And of course, my wife works here at the church. She makes some money. She contributes as well. Thank the Lord for that. I put that in there, benefit. If you look through my bank statement, you can see what I love. You really can. You can look through my bank statement and you can see, some of you especially, might see some entertainment going on in there, right? Some people spend more on entertainment than others do. I'm not a big fan of movies. I rarely ever go to the movies. I don't think they're of the necessarily that you can't go. Some of you have that distinction and that standard, and that's fine. I'm all for that. I would definitely lean that way rather than the other way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Everybody has to agree with that. I mean, if you're a Christian. But you can see some entertainment stuff in there. I've had a boat that I bought 10 years ago, and that's why they say about another 1,000. You've got to spend about 1,000 on it. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying. You got to spend a little money on the boat every year and keep it up. So we take the kids out tubing, and we have a good time with them and fishing and so forth, and spend a little time there. So you can see that in my bank statement, especially here lately, getting ready for to use it a little more this summer. There's some of you, you could see Texas Rangers tickets and football tickets and, I don't know, eating out. You can see a lot of eating out on our bills. We shouldn't eat out as much as we do, but we eat out way too much. The entertainment costs. Americans, that's an area we really need to be careful about. And then you can see your church, what the amount of money is spent on your church and what you do and what you give to and maybe other charitable organizations. I don't know. I've always defended that God instituted the church to win the world for Jesus and also to help take care of the poor. I personally don't give to other organizations. One thing, I don't trust them, most of them. Their overhead is ridiculous, most of them. Amen. Most of the money is not making it to people that need it. Did y'all see? Again, I'm going to get emails about the Red Cross. I know I am. The Red Cross is one of the most messed up organizations in the entire universe. Go read about them. Be careful. I'm not saying you shouldn't give to them, and they certainly help certain places, but they have a terrible problem in how they do their finances. So, and that's fact. Anybody can look that up and find it out. Go read about what they did in Haiti. Oh, my goodness. Wasted millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. I think I'll just stick with the church. I think I'll just... Anyway. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What does your bank statement say? What does your bank statement say? And again, your time. What does your time say? I'm not saying you have to spend every moment of every day at the church, but there should be some time spent at church, and I was preaching to the choir tonight. I understand that. But that extra time, that time working in, singing in the choir, all the things that most of you do who attend Wednesday night services anyway. But you can check your time. You can check your talent. Are you spending your talent for the Lord or spending your talent somewhere else, wherever that may be? And then your treasure. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The primary responsibility of every Christian is to develop a heart for God. Loving God, the first purpose here at Heritage Baptist Church is to encourage and to help our membership to have a love for God, a heart for God. By the way, to develop a heart for God is a process, right? I accepted Christ as my Savior. That was instantaneous, but that sanctification, that process whereby we are developing that heart for God is a process. It takes time. We are to love Him supremely. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first in our life. God should always be first. I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, so please don't. I know there's people here I should be preaching this to, and maybe they're listening on the internet. But you can tell where your love is. It's where you're at on Wednesday night. It's where you're at on Sunday night. Now, I'm not talking about those who had to work or were sick. I mean, the Lord knows. But those staying home tonight, watching the TV, who doesn't have a good godly excuse, right? You prove where your love is. what you put first, what you put first. It is about what you do during those services. I am telling you, folks, I know this is my soapbox, but you teach your children where your love is by where you're at during the services. And your children normally will do less than you when they grow up. So just remember that. You miss a Sunday night service for a ball game, they'll miss 4 Sunday nights for a ball game. I'm just telling them. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We need to love Him supremely above everything else. We've been studying Philippians on Sunday night. We will finish that this year. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The pressing toward the mark, that mark, the goal of every Christian is to be like Jesus Christ. Right? Christ our goal is the theme of Philippians chapter 3. Is Christ your goal? To follow in His steps, to be like Jesus. As we said Sunday night, to be molded and conformed to His image. In order to be like Jesus, you must know Him. In order to know Him, you've got to study about Him. In order to study about Him, you've got to read the Word. It all really, in Christianity, it all comes back to that. Having a personal daily walk with the Lord. Spending time with Jesus every day to get to know Him better. In order to conform to His image. To look into that mirror of the Word of God and be changed by the Spirit of God and the image of God for the glory of God. The mark, again, is to be like Jesus Christ. And it is God who is working in us, conforming us into the image of His Son. It's God doing the work in us. He started that good work in us, performing it until the day of redemption, the Bible says. I'm glad He's working in me. Conforming us, molding us, sculpting us into the image of Jesus Christ. Again, it's something we learn. It's something we go about doing through Sunday school hour, through the church service. It's through the various aspects of, again, studying the Bible, studying books about the Bible. Some of you, I know, enjoy reading. I encourage you. Get some good Christian books and read them. Some of the greatest reading I've ever done is biographies, Christian biographies. If you've never read George Mueller's biography or Praying Hyde's biography or D.L. Moody or Spurgeon's biography or William Borden's biography, go through and just name a whole bunch of them. I like sometimes reading biographies a little off track. I read a biography lately of a gambler, and it was great to see how God used another preacher in his life to convert and see him get saved, and God changed his life. It's inspiring. We must have a heart for God. Again, David's probably the greatest illustration of that in the Bible, when the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. And God used David in a mighty way. He wasn't perfect, but God used him because he had a heart for God. You don't have to be perfect to have a heart for God. As the heart panteth, or as the deer panteth after the water brook, David said, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David had a longing to know God. He wanted to know God more. I encourage all of us ought to want to know God more. Mark chapter 12, again, we see that phrase, love God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. The second like unto it is love thy neighbor as thyself. You can go back to Deuteronomy. You go back in the Old Testament. Love God. Love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love God. We should seek to love Him. Love Him more. What is the heart? The heart is not just the center of emotion. Right? You tell your spouse you love them. That's not all that entails the heart. The heart is the inmost awareness and consequential attitude that results from the collective input of the intellect, emotions, and will. What does that mean? It means it's me. My heart is me. It's who I am. It's the inward source of I am thinking, I am feeling, and I am wanting. Again, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not speaking of the pumping organ 95% of the time. It's speaking about our mind, our will, and our emotions. My will, my feelings, and my intellect. It's me. This is why I encourage our Sunday school teachers who teach young children to be careful about using the phrase, ask Jesus into your heart. By the way, it's not found in the Bible anywhere. And technically, biblically, that doesn't save you. Asking Jesus into your heart doesn't save you. That's what happens when you get saved, not how you get saved. Again, I know some of the church use it. I got saved by using the term, was said to me, but it is not the clearest presentation of the gospel. There's a more precise way to do it. especially with young kids who think about, when they think of the heart, they're thinking about, I can feel it. I still have one. That's awesome. See how fast it's beating. Probably 110 when I'm preaching. Y'all don't realize, man. Oh, it's going good. I'm getting my workout. I'm going to have to work out tomorrow. Heart is not the pumping organ in the Bible most of the time. And when you teach a child, ask Jesus your heart, you're saying that they think that Jesus Christ, a literal person, is literally jumping into their pumping organ. And that's not what you want to get across to a child thinks concretely. And so I would definitely encourage you to just give them the gospel, that they're to repent of their sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and resurrection for salvation, and just kind of leave that asking Jesus in your heart out and do something else. Again, the heart is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, it's me, it's who I am. And I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all that I am, with all of me, all that I think, all that I feel, all that I want. I'm to love Him with everything. I'm to love Him. This is an outline given by Brother Stewart, so I wanted to go ahead and say it before I started, because some of you will recognize it, especially when I read, because you'll say, that sounds just like Brother Stewart. That's all right. I steal a few things from him every once in a while. The threefold nature of the heart. What is the threefold nature of the heart? One, it's rational. Again, we're talking about the intellect, the reasoning aspect to mankind. It's emotional. It's my feelings. It's the passionate aspect to mankind. And it's volitional. It's my will. It's the determining aspect to mankind. Again, my intellect, my feelings, and my will. The reasoning, my passion, and that determining aspect of mankind. What I reason to be will affect how I feel, and such will determine what I do. What I reason will affect how I feel, and then will in turn determine what I do. We are to think a matter through, seeking divine enlightenment through prayer and Bible study until we have the biblical perspective. While such contemplation is taking place, our emotions will be stirred, and then we can act in keeping with what we thought through as being biblically right. Dr. Henderson, A.B. Henderson used to say, he said, when you're preaching, make sure that you preach what the people should know. What do you want them to know? And then how do you want them to feel? And then what do you want them to do? That's a sermon. What you get across what you want them to know, that in turn will turn into what they want to feel. What do you want them to feel in light of what they know? And then in light of what they know and how they feel, what do you want them to do? What action? A sermon should have application. Brother Zellner is not here. Brother Zellner's big time. I mean, every sermon, every lesson should have application. What do you want them to do? What do you want them to know? What do you want them to feel? And then what do you want them to do? Mind, will, and emotions. In this application, I'll use singing as to illustrate this. All right? So, when we sing a hymn, it should affect us here first, our intellect. There's a call come ringing, o'er the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. What does that biblically make you think of? It makes me think of the verses. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then He said, you are the light of the world. We're to be a light. We're to be a light and we're to send the light. And as I'm thinking that through, I think of those who are lost. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. What is the hymn writer, what is he trying to get you to think of in your mind? We sing that song and we don't think about it. We just sing it. But what is he trying to get you to visualize? What is the songwriter trying to get you to feel? Well, he's trying to get you to feel that you're a lifeguard. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. And then we are lifeguards. We're to be a lighthouse. We're to save souls from hell. We're there to be that go-between. We're there to be, we have the ministry of reconciliation. We're there to rescue people. Right? People are dying and going to hell. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Let your light everywhere abound. Send the light. Think about the song. So it affects us, our intellect. We know what's right. We know what the Bible says. And then how do we feel about that? There are people dying and going to hell. There are people to be rescued. I told you the story many times about my mom rescuing me from drowning when I was 7 or 8 or whatever age it was. That was a big deal. I could have died, you know, rescuing somebody. And then so what do? We got to do something about it. We need to go do something about it. You know, support missions. We need to do something about it. Tell our neighbor. Tell a coworker. They're dying to go to hell. They need Jesus. If they don't have Jesus as their Savior, if they don't believe and trust in Him as their Savior, they're going to split hell wide open. They're going to die and go to hell. There's no in-between state. There's no middle ground. There's no place that you go to and you hang out until somebody gets baptized for you. That's not found in the Bible anywhere. You die and you go one place or the other. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. And then if you're not saved, to be absent from the body is to go to hell, the burning flame forever and ever and ever. That should affect us emotionally. It should. It should stir our hearts about an aunt that's lost or a cousin that's lost, a next-door neighbor, a co-worker. It should stir our hearts. And then we have to do something about it. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Application. Again, the facts make us feel and then make us do. By the way, most contemporary Christian songs don't do that. Most contemporary songs, the new songs, that's all contemporary means, most of the new songs coming out that so-called call themselves Christians, songs do not do that. They only stir the emotion. They never give you the facts. There's still good new songs out there somewhere, and I'll get emails. It's fine. But they're far and few between. By the way, that's not just in the contemporary realm. That's also in the Southern Gospel realm. It's just about the same now. Hit the Southern Gospel guys too, preacher. Do it on Wednesday night. It's awesome. We have to be careful when it comes to this area and be balanced in this, that as we teach a Sunday school class, that we are giving the facts, and that as we teach, we are tugging on the emotions. And I know that's the Holy Spirit's job as well, but if somebody's clever enough and somebody can trick... I mean, we have TV evangelists on the old TV, don't we, who mess with people and do those things. But there needs to be a balance. How many times have we gotten into trouble because we did not reason a matter through? Or we immediately had an immediate emotional response? I'll give you two illustrations of what he's trying to say here. How many times have you reacted and did not reason something through? Such as the purchase of something big. There is not a person in this room who hasn't purchased something that you did it, you know, quickly, spontaneous, and you went home and cried and just, oh, I made a huge mistake. And there's sometimes you can't take that stuff back, right? The new car or whatever it was. We need to reason stuff through. We need to reason stuff through. And when it comes to Bible and comes to doctrine, Bible teaching, it's important we reason stuff through. Also, how many times have we made an emotional response quickly? I think in the area of anger, when something happens to you and you respond immediately, instead of giving it some thought, thinking it through, reasoning about it, and thinking about it. And yes, it may still move you emotionally, but you've had time to reason it through and calm down a little bit. And that can't just be anger. That can also be on the joy side as well, of taking that time and allowing your thoughts and your will and your emotions all to kind of balance together. We need to be careful in these areas and have a balance, not only in our personal lives, but also when it comes to Christianity. There are various religious bodies within Christendom today that indeed appeal to one of the three aspects of the heart, the mind, the will, and the emotions, how I feel, what I will, and what I think. Some are much more into the sensational than the doctrinal. So he's just three categories. So there are some religious institutions that appeal more to the sensational and more to the emotional side. And we see this among many various sects of religion. Pentecostals. You know, that Benny Hinn emotionalism that happens we see on TV where they're slaying people in the spirit and driving that emotional force and getting people ramped up. And it's amazing what they do, how they emotionally stir people. I have personally attended some meetings where I felt like, even in the Baptist circles, where it was all emotionally driven. And we got to be careful, like with Vacation Bible School and some of these other areas, that it's not just emotions bringing everybody to make a decision. There needs to be a reasoning aspect to it first, thinking it through. There should be doctrine and teachings taught, and you think the matter through, whether you're 10 or whether you're 50, thinking that matter through. But there should be an emotional response. You can take it too far, and some religious sects or some religious bodies appeal to the doctrinal without ever appeal to the emotional. So this probably would be more aligned with what we are. For the most part, we got to be careful that we don't go to the other extreme. That we don't go to the other extreme where there's nothing emotional. That's why I keep saying to you guys, just don't lose the shout. As we groan, don't lose the shout. We need the amens, and we need the praise the Lord's, and there needs to be some emotion. You don't want to just do away with emotion. If the church ever stops saying, if everybody stops saying amen, I'm done. Everybody stops singing. There needs to be some emotion. You know, there's power in the blood. That song ought to move you emotionally at some point. You know, the song tonight. I'm the Lord satisfies. That moves me. Think about that for a little bit. And then there's some who would just emphasize the application only, the do's and the don'ts. And we might quote unquote call it legalism, where it's just about you can't do this and you can't do that, and you got to do this and you got to do that to gain God's favor. And that's not true either. So there needs to be a balance of all of it, a happy medium. And that really is hard sometimes to balance. We need to be careful. We need to be careful about, as a church, from being too sensational up on the platform of leaping over into the entertainment business. We're not here to entertain anyone. We're not here to please every person who comes in the building. We're here to please the Lord, to glorify Him. We're never going to have the strobe lights. We're never going to have the drums on the platform. You know, it's just not going to happen. We're not going to do things that would tend towards entertainment. Drums are not ungodly. We'll have a soundtrack or two, and special guys come in here and have the drums. There's percussion instruments in the Bible, so email me. It's okay. Been around long enough, heard it all. No, I haven't. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Just need the balance. Balance. One of the most balanced ministers I've ever seen. I'll brag on Brother Weatherby a little bit. I was so glad early in the ministry I got introduced to Brother Weatherby. Because I would tell you, most of the churches I grew up in were not balanced ministries. They were not. And so to get around someone who I think just embodied that subject of balance, of taking the emotions right, of taking Bible doctrine right, and also the do's and the don'ts right, and balancing those. And, you know, my job isn't to come in every service and to skin the sheep. I had an outline for this today, but I won't go over it. It's not the pastor's job to come in every day and make sure everybody feels bad and send them home. There's some churches like that. Some of our brethren. 90% of the services you attend, man, they just beat you down. There needs to be a balance. And y'all pray for me that we have that balance. Again, because most of the churches I was raised in didn't have it. And so I step over it sometimes, man. It's fine. We every once in a while we need hard preaching every once in a while. Amen. I like personally hard preaching. If you catch me with my I still have my iPod actually, and most of the sermons on there are like old camp meeting style preaching. I like that. But a church can't live on that type of preaching or teaching. So there needs to be a balance. A balance. We need that same balance in our life. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Of taking these and having that balance in our life in which we understand and know Bible doctrine, and God is leading us and God is directing us, conforming us into the image of His dear Son. And we have that personal walk with the Lord, which in turn affects our feelings. That it does raise our emotions. If your emotions are not stirred every once in a while, you don't get those goosebumps or that little hair standing on the back of your neck every once in a while, then something wrong. You need to get something right. I tell you, if several times a year I don't attend a meeting that stirs me really emotionally, it ought to every once in a while. If it hasn't done that, you need to be careful. Now, some people aren't very emotional. I understand that. But there needs to be a balance. And then thirdly, you got to act on it. What I think, and then what I feel. You ever watched one of those movies? And I talked about I don't go to the movies a lot. But you watched, even at home, you watched a movie. I think about some of the football movies I've seen. Or maybe it's Hoosier. What is it? Hoosier, the basketball one? What is it? Hoosiers. That's close. Yeah. I mean, you watch a movie like that, guys. You can't get, even if you're not a basketball, I'm not a basketball player, but I watch that movie. I want to go out and shoot a basketball. I want to dunk it. That guy making those shots, you know, all the way around the perimeter. And man, it stirs you a little bit. Your daily walk ought to stir you every once in a while. But it can't just be a stirring. There has to be an acting upon that emotion. It has to be acting upon what you have felt, what you know. That's why the Bible says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Because God knows that about us. He knows that we'll learn something and have those feelings at a revival meeting. But the carry-through is the problem. Hello, procrastinators. Right? All of us have a tendency to do that. And so can I just encourage you tonight? Let's follow through. When God directs you to do something and you're stirred emotionally about it, follow through. Follow through. What are you thinking of tonight? What are you feeling tonight? Maybe there's something you've thought, you felt, but you didn't act upon it. Maybe tonight you need to come down to the altar and just say, Lord, you know, you really touched my heart a couple weeks ago and I did not act upon it. Lord, I want to act upon that. Help me, Lord, as I leave the auditorium tonight to follow through. And He'll help you. He'll do that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How are you spending your time, your talent, and your treasure? One of the missionaries just came through and preached on that. He did a great job. That was Brother Leslie the other night. Time, talent, and treasure. We got the rest of the week to please the Lord. Let's do it. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 337, Trust in